Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's March 23rd, 2023. It's your Impact Wrestling post show. I am at Joel Pearl. As always, I am joined by my favorite co-host, better than the Kate. Sorry, Ella. Better than Ella. I got Cresta Starr. Cresta, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling fantastic. I had IHOP for brunch. It was fantastic. What a good go-home Impact show. And for the record, I love everyone at Fightful. So if you want me on your show, I'm just saying, hi. Also, why do they treat you like you the Johnny Swinger of Fightful?
Yo, you know what? It doesn't matter because your boy gets access. Your boy, you know what I did? You know what I did, Cresta? I went to GCW in Toronto this past weekend, and I spoke to Matt Cardona. Former Impact wrestler Matt Cardona. I spoke to current GCW champion and Impact Knockout featured on the show tonight, Masha Slamovich.
Jealous.
I spoke to the one and only Speedball, Mike Bailey, who's about to, as we said on the ROH post show, have matches against Tanahashi, against Vikingo, against Kota Ibushi. The man is going everywhere, and I spoke to him about all that. That's going to be on Fightful soon. I spoke to Joey Janela. His spring break show is going to be massive. We're going to talk about that. We got so many interviews in the can coming at you, so just pay attention. Swingman over here getting his shit in.
I'm about to say, if you're the swinger of Fightful, if you're the Johnny Swinger of Fightful, the Swingers Dungeon is literally popping because of you. You've got hors d'oeuvres. You're making sure everyone's hydrated. Everyone is having a good time. And informed. You're doing the Lord's work, or Allah, Buddha, whatever you believe. Spaghetti Monster. You're doing their work. You're doing the work.
I'm here to do the work for y'all because I enjoy talking to people and I enjoy talking to you. And hello, Chad. I see you're there hanging out with us. I hope you enjoyed Impact. We're going to talk about it. Cresta, we kind of started talking about it. What do you think of Impact tonight? This is the go-home show to sacrifice. We'll play the video later. That's tomorrow night, and we're going to do our post-show here on Fightful after Impact Sacrifice. What do you think of tonight's Impact show going home to sacrifice?
A really solid go-home show. My only complaint, and it's because I am extremely biased. I know other journalists do unbiased journalism. I do biased journalism. Joe Hendry taking the pin. Still my beating heart. The audacity, the cheek, the nerve, and the gall. Overall, though, what a solid go-home restaurant. Jesus Christ, I'm having a stroke today. What a solid go-home show. What did you think about it, Joel?
I had fun. It was a really good show, especially in the second hour. I wasn't a big fan of the mixed tag. We'll talk about that and more. And also, we've got our super chats. You can go ahead and leave a super chat at the bottom of the screen here at youtube.com/Fightful. Any amount, get your question or statement right on the air. Like ShotKid29, who says, Steve Macklin has been my surprise breakout star for the last 2 years. Love watching him work and can't believe it's the same guy from Forgotten Sons. Well, Josh Alexander tonight reminded you that he was, in fact, a Forgotten Son. That promo, and we're going to talk about it, was absolutely my highlight of the night. I said that during the crossover. This show was full of a lot of good talky talk, but this one really brought it home for me. What'd you think of that that final segment of the night?
I thought it was really good, and I think that it was a nice change of pace from a match. And I feel like Josh Alexander has been working so hard in the ring that we often forget that he's really good on the mic. When he was like, you've been clawing your way back, you almost would have said you're a forgotten son. At that point, he just should have did the Kanye shrug. Like, it was really funny. Well-timed. The cadence said it right after that, you know, Steve Macklin had to. We'll talk about it later, but it was very good. And I think it's always nice to see this other side of Josh Alexander. Because again, we often forget with the 80-star matches he puts on regularly that he's pretty good on the mic and he'll insult your moms.
So how about some breaking news for you?
I'm ready. Break the news.
Impact just announced that Mickie James is injured and will not be able to compete tomorrow night at Sacrifice. So they'll update us on the Knockouts world title situation tomorrow night, which means the match between Jordynne Grace and Mickie James is off. I saw the chat was kind of talking a little bit. I went to the Impact Twitter, and I see it's there. That sucks for multiple reasons. First of all, we hope that the injury to Mickie is very minimal and keeps her out for a very short amount of time. On the show way of things, that takes her out of Sacrifice. The week after that is Multiverse United, where she's supposed to defend the Knockouts Championship in a Fatal 4-Way match. Mm. One that looked really good. We'll talk about that a little bit down the line. But give me your thoughts. Mickie James appears to be out tomorrow night for Sacrifice, which means one less title on the line, potentially.
Woof. First and foremost, I want to echo what you said. I hope that it's not a serious energy. Take two. First and foremost, I hope she's not seriously injured. That sucks. I really enjoy watching her wrestle, especially tonight, her work with Bully Ray, because Bully Ray got under my skin. And it was very well. She played the hero in peril, and I was sold. I don't know what this means for Sacrifice. I don't know what this means for a Multiverse. Was it Matches United? Multiverse Matches United?
Multiverse United. Only the strong survive.
Oh, Lord. I hope that she's fine. But, I mean, not for nothing. There are plenty of amazing Impact Knockouts that you could have fill her spot. I mean, there's obviously Jordynne Grace. There is Deonna Purrazzo. After tonight, I'm kind of sold on Taylor Wilde, too. There's a plethora of women that you can put in that spot that you'll get a nice, good, like a solid match. And you'd be like, damn, even though it wasn't for the title, I'm still sold on this person. So,
depending on how long you have Mickie out, you do have a match tomorrow between Deonna Purrazzo and Giselle Shaw. You can easily throw Jordynne Grace in there, make it a triple threat, mm-hmm. and call it for the Knockouts Women's Championship. Whoever wins that gets Mickie when she comes back from injury.
Yeah, I might have to just change plans a little bit, and yet I might piss off Masha. Maybe make it a Fatal 4-Way, some way insert it. But I hope she is a speedy recovery. I hope it doesn't throw off the plans too much.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and by the way, I see Jan Beard sent us a super chat saying Impact just tweeted out that Mickie will miss the show. And that's not fun. I mean, listen, we have so much more to talk about tonight. CO with the super chat saying Thirstlemania would hump. Oh my gosh. Cresta, I think you got to do it now.
Listen, I just don't understand how people watch wrestling and complain. These people are putting their bodies on the lines for our entertainment. I'm going to appreciate those bodies on the line for my entertainment even. How could you complain? I don't understand. I'm looking sometimes respectfully, often disrespectfully. And you know what the Bible says, if you're looking disrespectfully, you poke your eyes out. So
by the way, you can donate a Humper Chat over at humperchats.com. Same thing as a super chat, but we get to keep a little more. Cresta, do the thing. I know you're going to just repeat what I said, plus a little bit more.
Hey, that's what I do. You head over to humperchats.com. You add any donation amount. We'll read it live on air. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds. We see it. Sean Ross sees it. The person in the sky sees it, and everyone's happy. We keep a little bit of the proceeds, and it lets us know that you love us and we love you. Humperchats.com. Bing.
Let's get right into it. BTI opens with, of course, George Iceman.
On the scene again.
He's on the scene. He's back in the vineyard. But here's the thing. He got it wrong. So he says that Josh Alexander was creeped out by Steve Macklin last week. And today, one of Iceman's sources says that they saw Steve Macklin rifling through the back of Josh Alexander's car. And that's where he got it wrong, because later on we find out it was rifling through his bag in his locker room.
why not both? Steve Macklin, as we clearly saw, is a creep.
He really went to the extreme and said, like, Macklin was confronted and said that they knew about it, which is exactly what would happen later when confronted by Rich Swann. I think they had plans to do the car, and then they scrapped it to do the locker room instead. Either way, my AirTag theory lives. I still think that Steve Macklin put an AirTag on the Impact World Championship, and he's just rifling through Josh's stuff. Anyway, that was the Iceman intel from the Vineyard. But the match tonight was Trey Miguel versus Kevin Knight, and this was a fun match. It's really nice to see Kevin Knight get showcased in the X Division. Trey Miguel eventually gets the win, but not without a little bit of controversy. What do you think of this match tonight?
I have to say, I am here for Trey Miguel just being a little menace. When he took out the spray can to distract the ref was like, get that out of here. And poor Kevin Knight, trapped up in the trio, well, he hit him right in the end. Tonight was the yam bag shuffle.
Now, Cresta, here's the thing. I don't expect you to understand this particular situation because you are without the parts. There's all people always assume that getting kicked in the balls is very painful, and it is. But I can tell you with complete understanding, with complete understanding, and having had it happen to me, the sack tap is much more painful. You ever get one of these, the flicks, that you go down hard, and that's what happens.
There are two moves in fighting that are just banned, and they're banned for a reason, because you're not right. The sack tap is one of them, and the other one is 10,000 years of pain. That's when you up someone's butt.
Oh my God. So I got to put over. So spinning splashes from Kevin Knight looked really good. He got the hops. He always has, and we continue to talk about that. It was just a really good, solid, like evenly fought match, but Kevin Knight is the younger guy, so he makes little mistakes, and then Trey Miguel's the veteran, so like he's being bested. Knight's being bested by Trey. It's like a very simple story. It's very effective. And then, yeah, we talked about the sack tap. That shit hurts. At the same time, Knight goes hard into the post. Trey hits a lightning spiral. That's the win. That's the end of it. And then commentary's talking about X Division title match at Sacrifice. It's still saying an unnamed opponent, when we already know who it is because Impact had already announced on their socials that it's Lince Dorado. We'll talk about that later. But I feel like they just didn't finalize Lince as the opponent until much later past the tapings. Overall, good match. I don't know if you have anything else to add.
Nah, I mean, honestly, I put Trey Miguel about to win at the top of my notes. But it was a good match overall. Cresta went full.
Cresta's watched some Naruto. Cresta went full Naruto.
This is for another show. But believe it or not, I'm a professional Naruto hater. This is for another show, another lifetime. Ask somebody who knows me about it. overall, the match was good for a non-title match. You would think Trey Miguel was defending the title. I can't wait to see him cheat to beat Lince Dorado.
I'm looking forward to this match tomorrow night at Sacrifice. We'll talk about that very soon. Let's move on to the main Impact show. We open up with the design taking on the Time Splitters, Motor City Machine Guns, and Kushida. The design, by the way, they are flanked by Sami Callihan, so it's Diener, Khan, and Angels for this match. We found out today through Sports Illustrated that Motor City Machine Guns have re-signed with Impact, so that's really good stuff. Looking forward to more years of Motor City. There's some good stuff in this. Yeah, dude, you can do the point to them because it's Michigan. So anyway, the audio listeners are very confused right now. Saban does a really good basement dropkick, always does it. Angels is so good. This is how good he is at selling. Uh-huh. He thinks that there is a train coming after him when he's getting hit with a basement hesitation dropkick. I love that stuff. This is a good match. It's solid. It's a little longer than I would expect it to be, but for a hot opener, this did the trick. We ended up getting the win from Kushida because he's got a match against Josh Alexander at Multiverse United, so he's got to rack up those wins. What do you think of the match? And then we can tear it down a little bit.
You are right. Alan Angels, he looks like he is dying no matter what move he takes. He is sell. Explaining to my friend how they got the name Time Machine from the Time Splitters and Motor City Machine Guns is a trip, because then he realized all wrestlers are nerds. He's like, Alan Angels, but this other guy's got the V trigger and he's got the one wing. It's like, yes, everyone's a nerd. Surprise. They're just athletic. overall, too, did the design get a new intro? Because I feel like that intro is brand new, or was it there last week and I just didn't notice?
They've been rocking with that for a few weeks now.
So I haven't noticed. That's disgusting. Sad, Cresta. But I thought it was really good. I thought everything was good. Khan looked massive in juxtaposition to Kushida. And that was a smart opener to make it really look dominant. Because that just, that visual, ridiculous, redonkulous. Everybody got beat up that match too. So I want to say it wasn't just Allen Angels. Diener got beat up. Callahan, who wasn't in the match, got beat up. Kushida got a light dusting of beat up because absolutely he won. Because like you said, he has the match coming up against Josh Alexander. So overall, I thought it was a good match. The hoverboard lock at the end, though, when he caught Allen Angels out of the air going for that dive, I thought that was gnarly. Trying to still get out of it and then rolled him up twice with it. He had no choice but to tap. I do feel kind of bad for Allen Angels, but I just wanted to say that there's some hypocrisy because if that was Callahan who would have tapped, y'all would have beat him up. And I don't think there's going to be any recourse for Allen Angels. And I'm just saying, fair is fair is fair, Dina.
So real quick, let's just tackle that finish. Callahan comes in and he's going to protect Diener, who's kind of being beat down. He ends up eating a super kick from both members of Motor City Machine Guns. And then Saban does a mid-rope tope. Kushida gets in the hoverboard lock on Angels, like we said. But then Angels gets to the ropes and then Chris Saban runs around and kicks Angels' hands off the ropes. And Kushida keeps the hold in and gets a tap out win. That finish feels a little weird because it's a face finish being done. You know, it's a heel finish being done by faces. And it's very obvious that it's happening in front of the referee who just said, break the hold, but Saban just broke the break.
Uh-huh.
So that part I was a little like that. We could have done something else. You should have, you know, let go and then just reapplied right away. There should have been something in the middle to kind of break up the breakup, if you will.
I get what you're saying, but I will say that there is a hierarchy of teams because there's special rules for special teams because this happened also when people were wrestling Honor No More. The ref would blatantly see the good guys cheat against Honor No More, and it was like, let's Honor No More. Who cares? It's kind of the same way with Violent by Design. There's special rules for that. Like, I do agree that should have forced the break and then reapply, but it's Violent by Design. You've been bothering everybody. It's kind of like if the ref saw Bully Ray get hit to bring up continuity with ROH with a brick, I don't think the rest will be like, oh, what? Bully Ray got hit with a brick. When did that happen? Oh, I'm looking for it. I can't find it. Oh,
okay. I kind of get what you're saying. And again, we knew what the finish meant in terms of the long term because we have Kushida versus Josh Alexander at Multiverse. This is, again, it's so hard to think about Kushida in this match against Josh Alexander, knowing that there's like no time to build the match, but it's still going to be a good one. Because really, again, we talk about the final segment of the night with Macklin and Alexander. It seems like they're just looking past Kushida, which is a little foolish, but we need a better way to be like, this is better than just a really good match you're looking forward to seeing. It's better than a dream match, if you will.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I will say that Impact has a really good way of putting matches on to have no buildup, no stakes, just fists. FTR would be very pleased. So like, I get what you're saying, especially because it does make it seem like, okay, Kushida, you're just here for the dream match. But for all of that, why you put it for the title? You know what I mean? Just call it what it is and just let's keep the Macklin storyline going, you know? Not all the time a title needs to be on the line for a story to make sense. But if you are going to put the title on the line, there should be a story to accompany it to have it make sense.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's on Impact and New Japan to make the title match a little more fun, or at least give a little bit of seeds of doubt as early as tomorrow night at Sacrifice.
Uh-huh.
Let's move on. The Coven are backstage talking about magic, illusion, trickery, and witchcraft. And then you got this whole thing, you know, dear demon Rosemary, what we do takes thousands of shapes, yet you seem to think that what we do is different than what we do. And then for some reason, Taylor Wilde says, do I look like a frog to you? And then Kylan King says, the minute you shook my hand, you sealed your fate. And now the Coven are champions. Long live the Coven. Kind of nonsensical. I don't hate the Coven as a tag team. I just don't think that this segment did much for me. What would happen later does, and we'll talk about that. And when we get there, what do you think of this little introduction to the Coven on tonight's show?
I broke this down into two sentences. First sentence, I'm not joking, bitch. And the second sentence, we spooky too, Rosemary, got him. I mean, that was the literal whole promo. But I thought that they were actually saying the incantation to summon Tony Khan, because that next segment with the Death Dolls, poor Taya. Now we know what happens.
We'll get there, because there's a super chat waiting for us in the wings when we get to that. Champagne Singh promo. I loved this. We talked about Champagne Singh last week. He had a match on BTI. Raj Singh hit it big in Las Vegas, because that's what you do when your show comes to Vegas. One wrestler who's on a downward trajectory has to strike it big and get rich. And that's what happened to Raj Singh. He's like, I'm sleeping on a bed of cash. Vegas has been great to me and Shira. And now we're one step ahead for guys like them. It's fast cars, extravagant women, and top of the line champagne. And when you're this rich, you never have to pay for anything. Now, here's my question. When are they going to go broke? And also where? Because let's face it, Impact for the next 3 months are in Canada. Windsor has a casino. Sure, I guess he could go broke there. Toronto, not exactly a haven for betting. There's actually a place near me that does it, but it's not the same. And then London, Ontario ain't got shit. So where are we going with this?
Well, first, let me say that this segment could be broken down into one sentence as well. It says, I'm rich, bitch. Maybe they strike you big when you said Windsor, Ontario. There's a casino there.
There's a Caesars.
Maybe they still gamble there, but once you get to Toronto, the money starts drying up because you got other ways to replenish it. Maybe Toronto gives them, I don't know. Canada is not known for being mean. The meanest Canadians I see are on Impact. And here with Joe Pearl.
Yes, I am very mean. Let the record show. I am very, very mean. We'll see what they do with him. It's fine. I just think I like the Champagne Shira gimmick. I think it's fun.
It's funny.
For a guy who's low on the card and just does his thing, like, this is perfect for him and he's entertaining. I just wonder, like, how is he going to go broke? Is he going to invest it all in Bitcoin, go to the moon? And then, sorry, it's an NXT.
He's going to hang out with Johnny Swinger and they're going to get that fanny pack stolen again.
Oh, we're back to the roll of cash. Let's go.
All comes full circle. It's like a pipe. It all comes full circle.
Speaking of full circle, Eddie Edwards and Kenny King brought it full circle tonight. I didn't hate this. So Eddie Edwards says, Edwards, as we call him here, says the only way to put PCO in the past was to reach into my personal past and bring in Kenny King. And King says, out of every bad thing comes a good thing. And Kenny King didn't speak for months after Honor No More fell apart. But at Jay Briscoe's mom's house in the middle of tragedy, we looked at each other and realized it didn't matter. We're family and you sacrifice for your family. And then King says PCO was never family, so it sacrificed. The family joins together to put PCO on ice. Cresta, I love this promo because you're bringing in some real life drama. You know, we lost Jay Briscoe a few months ago. Jay Briscoe was very entrenched with Ring of Honor, as were these men. The Honor No More faction was, of course, akin to the old Ring of Honor. This was a really good way to bring these two guys together. You brought a little realism in and you made it make sense. What did you think of Eddie Edwards and Kenny King tonight?
I will say that you can measure somebody and how they speak of them after they pass with the impact that they've done. There are people who are still going out of their way, so you don't forget Jay Briscoe. And I thought it was really nice for them to be like, we were at Jay Briscoe mama house chilling. And that's like, that's real, because across almost every promotion, people have been pirating a banner says Briscoes or Jay. So I think that it's really nice, kind of like Eddie Guerrero, that you get to live on in our little Zeitgeist of freaking wrestling forever and ever, that people are never going to let people forget the contributions that you've done. So I thought that was really nice. And also I felt like it made two people who I feel are kind of like yuck characters, something gave it a sense of realness. And maybe this is the wash that Eddie Edwards needed. Because yes, I think that him and Kenny King may beat PCO, but I do think it'll put both of them on a better trajectory in a more serious manner that the both of them, I think, need. And Kenny King is already on that trajectory, in my opinion, especially with his last few matches with Speedball. He's no longer in this, like, I'm a joker. He's really out here. So I think Eddie Edwards could absolutely use that rub, because I don't know what he's doing right now, and he kind of feels rudderless. So I like the surrealism. And also, like he said, you was never gang, bitch.
I like that they found a way to bring it together. I like that they gave Eddie Edwards and Kenny King a reason not only to be back together, but also something to go after. And yeah, it's PCO, but you know, you take down PCO, then you go on to bigger and better things. Maybe the tag title somewhere down the line.
Sure.
Regardless, those two have a history. They're bringing their history back. And again, I don't mind that they brought up Jay Briscoe because there is a connective tissue there. They've all worked around Jay. And for all we know, they really, well, I mean, listen, they almost certainly were there when, you know, for any memorial services.
Uh-huh.
They played a big role in Jay's life and vice versa. So it made sense. It wasn't bad.
Yeah. So
I like where this is going. We're going to see Kenny King and PCO tomorrow night at Sacrifice, and we'll go down the card very soon. Savannah Evans versus Deonna Purrazzo during the crossover. Cresta, you were excited about this match. You loved it. I really enjoyed it as well, and I really enjoyed the post-match. Evans looks strong. She looks dominant, like you said. Purrazzo looks good. Deonna always looks good, but this was a really good match for Savannah Evans, who eventually takes the L, but not without a whole lot of stuff happening. Giselle Shaw distracts the referee. Jay Vidal grabs Deonna Purrazzo. Savannah Evans kicks Jay Vidal off the ring apron by accident. Deonna pump kicks Giselle Shaw, gets her out of the way, and then Deonna hits a crucifix bomb on Evans for the win at the good finish. Talk to me about this match. What'd you like about it, other than Savannah Evans' really awesome-looking gear?
Deonna Purrazzo's awesome-looking gear. gear aside, it has been a pleasure watching Giselle Shaw and Savannah Evans go from, I feel like, understudy sidekick to a leading dominant lady. Savannah Evans played her part. She played her part here in the beginning. In the first third, I felt like she was giving us lumbering big person. I can't hit you. Then when she found her groove, the two snapmares and that Northern Light suplex. If you asked me, could Savannah Evans do that 5 months ago, I'd be like, maybe. But it was clean. It was good. I am a sucker for a good Northern Light suplex. And she was up on them tippy toes. She was doing ballet. It was so good. The snapmare was unexpected, especially too when Deonna reversed, I believe she was going for a power bomb into a Hurricane Rana, and she just took it, and it was so believable. Like, she really got the tilt-a-whirl. I was thoroughly impressed. Thoroughly impressed. Even in defeat, I think Savannah Evans looked great. Now, this is nothing against Deonna Purrazzo, because Deonna Purrazzo put her to work tonight. She's like, you got your work grim boots on? I hope you do. And it was really, really good. The finish, I felt, protected everyone. It was overbooked. Poor Jay Vidal. he's doing his best. But also, at the end, the post-match, Savannah Evans does eat the pin, but the post-match, no one came out for Deonna Purrazzo. But then I remember you and Chelsea Green were being real menaces for like a couple of months. I'm like, darn. I mean, maybe you'll beat Shaw, but imagine if Giselle Shaw beats Deonna Purrazzo. Again, if you asked me 3-4 months ago, could Giselle Shaw beat Deonna Purrazzo? I'd be like, I'd be entertained. But now I'm like, wait a minute. Even with cheating, no cheating aside, Giselle has gotten really good too. I'm excited about the match. I'm excited for the future Savannah Evans. And I can't wait for Savannah Evans to eventually turn on Giselle Shaw, pick that woman up and put her down. I can't wait.
You said it best. Deonna doesn't have any friends left. No one came to her aid tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of expected that way, because who was going to come to her aid? Her best friend's gone. She's the biggest Karen in WWE now.
She's over here asking for management everywhere.
That's right. And management ain't going to bring her back to Impact. And we talk about the post-match. So Savannah Evans goes right after Deonna Purrazzo after the match. All three, Jay Vidal, Savannah Evans, and Giselle Shaw go after Deonna Purrazzo. Evans hits the full Nelson slam. Shaw hits the denouement. And this is great intensity from Giselle Shaw. And we already talked about Evans looking great. This was a really good start. And I see in the chat, where's Tasha Steelz? Well, that might be Deonna Purrazzo's friend, is Tasha Steelz, because the enemy of my enemy might just be my friend, because who got rid of Tasha Steelz? It's Giselle Shaw. So there's an opportunity here.
That's crazy. Like, I'm thinking about, like, why would Tasha Steelz help Deonna Purrazzo? Because who else is going to help Deonna Purrazzo?
Someone's got to, and it might just be the returning. And also, again, who was with Tasha Steelz? Savannah Evans.
And you turned your, I mean, not to say that Savannah Evans turned her back on Tasha Steelz, but Tasha Steelz was getting her delusion. She was really in her delusional bag. Like, it's your fault. And Evans is like, no, I've been winning. Actually, you've been taking the pin, if I can remember correctly. So I don't know. This is interesting. I totally forgot about Tasha Steelz in that one moment. And it'd be nice to see her come back at sacrifice, sacrifice.
Oh, you meant this one?
Sacrifice, 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 sacrifice.
That's the one.
Yes. You guys can't. Yeah, I mean, you could see. I was.
Albert Pons, this is with the super chat from the Edward Edwards King segment. Not going to happen, but man, Vincent saving PCO in his feud with Edward Edwards and Kenny King would be awesome. Also, bum-ass Singh debuts after he goes broke. I am all for it. Listen, I don't want them to rip off the Baron Corbin gimmick, but let's face it.
Every
rich character has to go broke and lose everything somehow. And you know what? Vincent, who knows? I'll put it like this. If Vincent maybe didn't end up getting a gig with WWE, I'm not saying he did or he didn't, but if he came back to Impact, going back to PCO to face Edward Edwards and Kenny King wouldn't be the worst thing.
I don't disagree with that. I think that, again, this new serious act attitude that they have, I think is a good reset for everyone involved now. I mean, even Undertaker went from spooky Undertaker to serious wrestler, and it's hard for me to get behind people like that. But Crazy Steve does it. Black Taurus does it. So I have full faith in PCO being spooky, scary, but I'll break your freaking neck.
And shout out to M.A. Sulko, by the way, who points out that at WrestleCon, Tasha Steelz and Deonna Purrazzo will have a table together. So, kayfabe ain't dead, baby.
Well, I will say this, since we're making announcements, it's actually me who's going to be wrestling Masha. I'm kidding. I'm not. I don't want no beef for Masha Slamovich. She will pick me up and put me down. I'll say, thank you. Have a good day and leave.
if you subscribe to us in audio form, I'll let you in on a scoop. The Masha audio actually dropped today. The video drops Sunday. I've never spoken to Masha Slamovich before. In fact, I'm pretty sure that the first time that I'm really like hearing her speak was this past Friday when she won the GCW World Championship. Uh-huh. Up until then, we've been talking about her speaking Russian and being like this menace. You know, listen, kayfabe, she's awesome. She's excellent. She's great to talk to. She's very, very sweet. And I'm just sitting there being like, when's she going to rip my head off in Russian?
That's what you got to say. Okay, and the cameras are cut. All right, so for the memes, you just choke me up. Just I'll put my arm up and I will sell the shit out of it.
She choked out Speedball. It's fine. That night she got Speedball choked out. She retained her championship. She's good. I don't need to worry about being afraid of Masha. I'm already there.
You got it. I'm afraid of everyone on Impact. Everyone. Even Gia Miller. Everyone.
Even the Deathballs, because they're talking in the back and Rosemary's like, hey, I'm upset that the Coven won our tag titles. And with Rosemary's magic, we should be able to win all the time, says Jessica. And Taya interrupts. Taya's still here, by the way. And she says, I thought we were going to stay away from the magic. And Jessica's like, well, I'm not going to wait for a plan, and I'm not staying away from magic. I'm going after the Coven. And so she runs off, and Taya chases, and she's like, I got to go stop her. So Jessica's going through the back hallways, and she comes across a white casket with light coming out. And she opens it up, and this bright light inside starts to spook her. This is very Pulp Fiction, 1994, by the
way.
Spooky, scary. Spooky, scary. And then Taya comes up and like gets in front of her and closes the casket and says, no, I'm here to protect you and I'm going to keep you safe. And this isn't what you want to do. Don't do this. And then a hand comes out of the casket, grabs Taya, drags her into the casket. Taya's not dead, folks. She's just in the undead realm. So the door is still open. She can come back anytime she wants. Oh, yeah. Let's get the super chat from Jambier because it kind of relates to the Coven. It says, I don't watch Impact, but when did Taylor Wilde go from punk rocker to Impact's version of Isla Dawn and Julia Hart? It's not an insult to the gimmick. So I get that. She kind of went from being this little punk rock girl, and then she lost a lot. Mm-hmm. And then she started leaning into like her Wiccan / witch friends who got her into it, and she's like, this is a gimmick. So she became this witch, and that's her real life gimmick. She reads tarot cards and does all this stuff, and she started doing stuff on socials, and all of a sudden Taylor Wilde is this. I have nothing else to add to you.
I simplify everything down to its most basic form. When I get confused about why is this gimmick the way that it is, I really start to think about it, then I think too much. Taylor Wilde is a glorified Yu-Gi-Oh gimmick, and I'm here for it. She reads the cards. The cards guide her steps. Because remember that match where she was like, what does this card say? I'm not tagging in. Psych. I'm here for it. If you overthink it, then you're not doing wrestling right. And then it's funny. I like it. I would say a card captain, but I think I'm just shouting out anime that you don't know, Joel.
It's okay. The chat will get you. The chat will understand.
I like it. Because then somebody's got to be spooky with her because Havoc's gone. Where's Sue Young? We don't even got Susan.
Well, Albert Ponce with another super chat says, wow, how long is TK in that coffin waiting to snatch Taya? It would be cool if it was Sue Young, says Albert. And also looking forward to Steve Macklin as new champ. We'll talk about that one a little bit. But yeah, what if this brings about the return of Sue Young, especially with the news of Mickie James being out potentially indefinitely?
I love Sue Young. Even before I was watching Impact, I love Sue Young. And the Susan and the Susie gimmick, oh, 10 out of 10. Ted, I love Sue Young, so I'm back for it. The joke in my house was when Taya Valkyrie got dragged, I'm like, damn, they really did a prayer circle and Full Metal Alchemist style. You can't win the titles for nothing. A life for a life. So poor Taya got dragged to hell. Tony Khan was like, thank you. I hope she comes back, but thank you for all your hard work and Impact, Taya. See you in hell. Quite literally.
And thank you to Pro Wrestling Podcast for the super chat. And also for being the summoner of CM Punk to the wrestling world. Whenever Pro Wrestling Podcast posts anything on Instagram, CM Punk's like, I've got to reply to that.
Look in my eyes. What do you see?
CM Punk replying on IG.
That was good.
I got you. Amy Solko asking, whose coffin was that? They haven't buried Eric Young. They certainly haven't debuted him in WWE either. Just saying.
Eric Young isn't dead. We didn't see him die. You have to see people physically die in Impact for them to either be dead or gone. We saw Taya Valkyrie, the casket. We saw her. Eric Young, all we saw was the shank and then freaking Diener going. So we didn't see him die. He could have been hanging out in the grave with PCO.
You're getting called out. They know what you're talking about.
Listen, it's funny if you think about it. Remember the Killer Kelly match where she was doing this the whole time? Don't mind my tea bag. It's green. She's like, oh, the cards. They're telling me. And then when Killer Kelly was like, I'm getting choked. Help me. Taylor Wilde was like, ooh, the cards. Listen, I played my blue eyes in the attack position, but I got a way to turn. I'm sorry. I got a way to whole turn. You stepped on my trap card. Yeah, I don't play doubles. I play singles. I'm a single player.
Jam Beard with another super chat saying, also, according to Impact regarding Taya, WWE is a prison while AEW is the undead realm. They're not going to kill her because she keeps coming back.
I mean, to quote Bobby Fish, I mean, where's the lie?
They brought his ass up again tonight, and we'll talk about that very
soon. Bobby Fish is coming back. I feel it in my scrot.
God, it's awful. Speaking of awful, Masha Slamovich and Bully versus Mickie James and Tommy Dreamer. I hated this match until the finish. Okay. They start with the Bobby Ray chants. I thought that was cute. The crowd was good. And then, like, Bully does a lot of off-mic trash talking. That's fine. They do a lot of intergender stuff, which is fun because that's an Impact trope. And that's just hard to get in this match when the stakes are literally Bully and Dreamer and not Mickie James, who's the champion and a challenger, who's not even Masha Slamovich at this point. So they're just kind of there. They do the double teams, shake, rattle, and roll Dreamer and Mickie do on Masha and Bully. And then they do the what's up drop on Bully Ray. And Bully Ray officially watches our show, Cresta Star.
I saw it. My balls.
We've talked about the most devastating move in the game. We've talked about this. We've shown the footage. We've done everything. Bully, we see you. We appreciate you. That's as far as I'm willing to go because I didn't care for this match. Other than that, when he did the my balls, I was like, He knows it's what we talk about. He knows it's what we run to. He knows it's what we do. And he did it.
I will say that While the match, I went into it with the bar was in hell. But I would be a liar if I said this wasn't some premium heel work from Bully Ray. I have never been so annoyed at a wrestler since The Miz. And The Miz gets under my skin. He gets under my skin.
What about Logan Paul?
I mean, I mute it when he talks. So you can't get under my skin if I can't hear you. But tonight was the first time I was like, yo, I want you to stay in Impact one more time so Nick Aldis could beat you up. Because you are, first of all, I know that you know that I know that you're not afraid of Tommy Dreamer. So all this jaw jacking with only wanting to fight Mickie James, you're a POS. Because in the post-match, yeah, Jordan, because I'm a Jordan, wanted to square up and you were like, I didn't fight with it. But you want to try to be, you are a jerk. And you got under my skin tonight. On this night, you got under my skin. So I was premium heel work. But again, all this makes me want to do is see Nick Aldis choke you up for 20 minutes. Solid 20 minutes. I don't care. Just rest holds for 20 minutes.
Should have worn a cup.
Agreed. That I don't understand why we just don't go for Bully's balls. That's his weakness. The roll up and the yam bag shuffle.
That's right. They go to get the table. Masha takes out Mickey and then Bully low blows Tommy and then pile drives Dreamer, does his own pile driver for the win. So Bully wins the match for his team. And then post-match, Bully sets up that table. Masha rolls Mickey into the ring and tells Bully to put her through the table. I guess that's the payback for, you know, teaming with Bully. And then Jordan Grace hits the ring, knocks out Bully, doesn't even knock him out, just hits him with a kendo stick. Bully kind of no-sells it. He's like, oh, that's minor inconvenience.
Yeah.
And turns around. And Jordan goes for a spear on Bully Ray, who sidesteps it, and Grace spears Mickie James. What really sucks now, again, is that this was a good build for what would have been tomorrow night's Knockouts Championship match, but we're not doing that anymore because Mickie James is out with injury. Other than that, what do you think of the post-match, assuming we didn't know about Mickie's injury?
Mickie, you better count your lucky stars. Jordan was able to brace herself because that table was not up. It was not ready for you to go through, and everybody would have gotten seriously hoit. Within the fines of kayfabe. And this is the same stuff that Jordan warned you about. Like, why are you letting this old man get under your skin? You have no business with him. Let Bully talk. He's not challenging for your title. Who cares what he has to say? And honestly, at this point, if he's being that annoying, get Smart Mark Sterling to sue him. Like, I don't know what to tell you, but leave him alone, Mickey. You have nothing to prove. Yes, he works at your workplace. I don't know, Mason, Bear Mason, but you got nothing to prove. You literally have nothing to prove. But Jordan Grace, like, that spear was gnarly. That spear before the moose match, I was like, this is a borderline moose spear. She almost spit Mickie James out her damn boots.
It's good. It's really good. And if you want to be speared out of your damn boots with news and exclusive news at that, go over to FightfulSelect.com. Best $5 in the biz. Get everything. You get your exclusive news and notes. You get AEW and WWE live reports, show rundowns, backstage news, producers on shows, all the stuff you need. It's right there at Fightful Select. You want interview notes from Dax Harwood, beyond the CM Punk stuff, it's there. That interview drops officially on Friday, but if you can't wait and you need to know right now what Dax Harwood had to tell Sean Ross Sapp in their exclusive interview, FightfulSelect.com's got the notes. Maybe you want to know about where All Out's going to be this year, because it might not be at the Now Arena in Chicago. It might be somewhere else. Who knows where? Fightful Select has the details. And of course, Goldberg, he's a free agent. Is he going to show up in the Impact Zone?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
$5, FightfulSelect.com. Get all your news, all your scoops. Plus the Weekender with Steven Jensen, Sour Graps with Kate and Alex Pawlowski, and Select Style with Scott Edwards, who does all the Japanese wrestling, all the Joshi stuff, all the stuff that you aren't necessarily able to follow completely. Scott Edwards has got you covered. Select Style every week, and Coexisting After Dark with Rob and Maggie. This week, they've got Denise Salcedo, who is the new co-host on Saturdays for Busted Open. With
Hollywood Denise,
who now has to start work at 6 a.m. on the weekend.
How on earth?
That's her problem, and I hope she deserves it, actually. She's great. So if you want some great content, go over to FightfulSelect.com. $5 or more, you can go all the way up to $1,500 for all you want. There's tons of opportunities. Just read about them, and we'll get your exclusive news. I know, listen, everyone's like, it's going to just show up anywhere else in 5 minutes, but it's going to be aggregated, and it's probably going to be wrong, and then later on, we got to clean it all up, and everyone's got to be like, why did you say it wrong? And people editorialize the news. Don't do that. Just go to FightfulSelect.com, get the news from the source, get it right the first time. Don't wait. Just do that.
I will always say this, that all your favorite places are going to report what we say anyway, and they have to editorialize it, or else it's plagiarism. But when you editorialize it, it's a game of telephone. It went from Goldberg's a free agent to Goldberg signing with Control Your Narrative. And now,
no,
like,
stop it. Hold on.
And now you're like, who said that? That darn Sean Ross Sapp, because Fightful reported it. And Sean is like, I never said that. I never even wrote that. I didn't say that.
There's a difference between aggregation with attribution. And someone literally just taking the news and saying so-and-so is doing something completely different. The editorializing part should not happen. Don't do it. Don't listen to people who do it. Aggregation is just, that's the word for word, and that's fine. Just say it came from Fightful Select. That's okay. But there are people who get it wrong, and that shit absolutely bothers me.
That's why I'm not a journalist. I'm just a jabroni.
Why I talk to wrestlers now. Yeah, that's right. Goldberg's going to go to GCW. He's going to go to the NWA. He's going to go Control Your Narrative.
Harmless rumors are one thing, but these don't end up being harmless rumors. And next thing you know, there's a tweet longer from Goldberg saying, you guys are fucking idiots. Stop saying this shit.
Goldberg loves me. I'm one of the tribe. It works. Goldberg versus MJF. We're going to do that. Goldberg versus Raven again. We're going to.
You know why I watch wrestling. I love all the wrestlers. That's right. You know what I'm about.
I'm with the Schism on NXT. That's right. You can catch me beating Chase U. Everything happens over at FightfulSelect.com.
It's a party, and you're invited. for $5.
$5, you're invited. It's the most exclusive party you can get into. Listen, all right, let's keep going.
All your homies are there. $5.
$5. Yeah, they're all there for $5. Rich Swann and Frankie Kazarian are backstage, and Swan's all upset that he's just fodder to Macklin. He keeps getting his ass whipped just so he can get to Josh. So that's what Macklin's saying about Swan. Kaz is like, hey, if this bugs you so much, go talk to Josh Alexander, get a squash, because we got a big match on Friday. You know, it's kind of important. So he's like, fine, I'm going to go to Josh's locker room. So he comes back, goes to Josh's locker room, and Swan finds Steve Macklin, going through Josh's bags, not his car, Iceman.
Listen, they don't tell us the news, so we got to find it out any way we can, okay? George Iceman is on the ground like we are, okay?
George Iceman is aggregating from Fight for Select. We would have gotten it right, okay?
True. Come on, George Iceman. George Iceman, you can't have my spot, but when I'm sick.
Exactly. So when he was asked, George Macklin, Steve Macklin. I can't get first names today. Steve Macklin says, no, I'm good. I'm supposed to be here. And then he walks out. So that was weird. Anyway, run down the sacrifice card. We'll do that actually. Let's do that at the end. We'll give our predictions for the show. And then just programming note, next week is Multiverse United. The show is live. It's on a Thursday. We are going to go live after Multiverse United. We don't know when the show ends. One of two things will happen. Either we're going to let the ROH crew basically filibuster until we take over, or we're going to go live after Multiverse United on our own feed and do the show then. I have no idea when it ends. If I had to guess, 11 o'clock Eastern, maybe?
I'll be here.
We'll all be here. So we'll see what's going on. We'll be live for that. And of course, tomorrow night, we'll be live for the Sacrifice post show here on youtube.com/Fightful. And it'll be even better because the SmackDown post show is only SmackDown tomorrow and not SmackDown and Rampage, because Rampage is on Saturday night. So yeah, we'll be good.
There's a lot going on this weekend on Fightful, y'all. Please tune in. You're going to have the time of your life.
Jambeard says Goldberg goes to Lucha Underground as his Universal Soldier gimmick. Revive the show just for that. Ugh.
Listen, again, wrestling is a tour de France of how silly can we get? I would watch it because Lucha Underground is next level.
You know what came out of that Universal Soldier with Goldberg movie?
The Marine with John Cena.
No. The 1999 Megadeth classic Crush 'Em. It was made for that movie.
I never heard that song. I'm sorry.
You're better off. It's not very good.
Oof.
Speaking of which, Dirty Dango and Joe Hendry versus Moose and Myers. It's not that it wasn't very good. Hendry comes out and he's like, tonight's special. For the first time, you'll see Joe Hendry and Dirty Dango. And that should give you all the motivation you need to say the two words. And then Dango grabs the mic. Suck it!
Can we talk about how Dango was offbeat to his own music in the beginning? What is...
Well, he's super serious.
Ah, man. I don't know if serious describes what we... Dango was all one. Because you know what's crazy? Is that the in-ring was superb. But everything else... It's like, Dango, what are you doing? And to quote
Tom
Hannifin on commentary, well, he only had one successful tag partner.
Dobby the Brain Heenan just pointed out that Multiverse starts at 11 p.m. Eastern, and he's right. The show's going to end at 2 a.m. I'm
so screwed. Listen, I'll be up because I'll be watching RuPaul that night. So, that's Thursday. That's not tomorrow. Oof. That's next week. Thursday.
We'll talk about it.
Well,
talk about it. We'll figure it out. We'll let the chat leave us a comment on the video. Should we do it live, or should we do it?
See you Friday morning.
Right, yeah, they're gonna get a double dose of us. Who knows? Oh my god, that just sounds. Anyway, I appreciate the enthusiasm. Dango's just being super awkward. Yes. Moose comes out. He looks cut. He looks great. Matt
got a mustache, a thingy.
The roundabout or the Fu Manchu.
No, that was me last week. The roundabout. The goatee. That's what it's called. I should know these things. I have a beard.
Dango keeps going for the suck it with the arms. And he's awkward and it's good, but it's fine what it is. Hendry loses the match. Yes. They pointed out that Joe Hendry is the longest reigning digital media champion in Impact history. He's got 131 days. That's over Brian Myers, who had the former record. Myers gets the pin after Moose hits a spear on Joe Hendry and Myers gets the roster cut. I'm pretty sure that's just one of those setups for tomorrow night where Hendry wins.
I agree.
Simple as that. Do you have anything to add about this? Because it was just a tag match.
I mean, I'm just double checking my notes because you said everything that I pretty much said. I like Dango in ring. I never want to see him tag with Joe Hendry again. I never want to see that again. Joe Hendry lost because of you. That's my opinion. I don't care. Fight your mom about it. Maybe there is a reason why Fandango only worked with what's his name? I can't think of his name in this moment. I'm having a stroke. Jeff Jarrett.
There you go. Jeff Jarrett.
No, it wasn't Jeff Jarrett who teamed with him.
Who are you talking about? I missed it.
Fandango's partner, who are the fashion police, whose name escapes me.
Tyler Breeze.
There we go.
I was typing in the chat about the multiverse show.
No, when I said I'm having a stroke, that's what I was like, oh, like Jeff Jarrett. You're like, yeah, Jeff, no, that's not his. No.
Yeah, they're talking about the one successful partner was that guy. Yeah, the match was fine. There was nothing I can add to it.
Yeah.
And now the chat's like, it's Tyler Breeze.
Thank you, guys. Listen, when you are under 9,000 years old, sometimes your brain just, the water is dry.
Yeah, I don't even know what day it is anymore. Folks, get your super chats in. Get your humper chats in. This is it. Josh Alexander is in the back. And Rich Swann's like, hey, Macklin was in your bag. What's up with that? Josh's like, I don't know why, but I'm going to go figure this out. I'm going to the ring. Good setup. Out comes Josh Alexander. Must be a go home to a pay-per-view, but it's not even for this match. So Josh comes out and he's just like, Macklin's busted his ass to get a shot at the world title. Left a trail of bodies behind him. Says he respects Macklin as a wrestler, even more so as a combat veteran, which gets a round of applause. And he says where Josh loses respect for Macklin is when Macklin complains to management about not earning a shot or that Josh Alexander is ducking Steve Macklin. Says Josh has been here all along accepting challenges from all over, so Steve must be ducking him. And then he says when the match happens, it's about whether or not Steve Macklin has it, and there will be nothing to complain about and nobody to sympathize with him. Back to the bottom, scraping and crawling to get back on your own 2 feet. Calls Macklin someone afraid of failure, a soldier with no mission, a man with no purpose, being a forgotten son. And that brings out Steve Macklin. And this is so good, Cresta. Up until this point, are you invested? Are you enjoying the promo? Or are you just kind of like, okay, what are we doing here?
I liked it. I've been salivating for this match for months now. I've been waiting for them to do it for months. So I'm glad that we're finally getting to the proper build for this at Rebellion, because I don't think it's happening at Sacrifice tomorrow. When he said, you're like a forgotten son, and his music hit, I don't know if you'd be on TikTok like that, but there's a TikTok meme where the guy goes, I didn't do shit. I got nothing to do with that. I have nothing to do with that. I didn't do shit. That's what I felt like. Because when he came out, he was like a forgotten son real good. And Josh Alexander felt like you could feel in his face like, yeah, what you going to say now, sucker? It was just the cherry on top, because I feel like the last couple of feuds, they made Josh Alexander look paranoid. And this is the first time I feel like he's really being braggadocious. Like, I'm him. I'm Himothy in my Himberlands. Himmy Neutron. I am him Duncan. I am that guy. Again, I like what Macklin then says. Like, listen, I'm not going to fight you right now. I'm going to do it in your hometown. I'm going to embarrass the fuck out of you. So I'm like, now you got to make good on that threat, Macklin. And I think that if Impact does it, we're actually going to see Canadians mad. But I'd be here for it. I'd be here for it. Josh Alexander deserves to take a break. After his wife get beat up by Bully Ray, you deserve to take a break. Go to Disney World or something. I don't know. He deserves it.
M.A. Sokol with a super chat says, does Macklin is ducking Josh make any sense? He's been asking for this match since Swinger was a rookie. So you know what? It doesn't. Only because... The way Macklin made it make sense was, I've been watching you uh-huh. like for a solid year. And they show the video of the back of Macklin's head as he's watching all of these Josh Alexander matches. He's scouting him and he's scouting him. He's picking his moment. He's calling a shot. He could have gotten the match anytime he wanted, hypothetically, but instead he was beating people, winning matches, and getting his way climbing to the top. It was all, they're making it sound like this is part of a long plan that Macklin had to be better than Josh Alexander. And he's going to have to be, because that's the story. Josh has beaten everybody. And now's the time for him to have to find an opponent who's scouted him from head to toe. And that's what Macklin's trying to be. So has he ducked Josh? Maybe not in the traditional sense, but in like a weird, in a weird way, yes, but also no, because he was scouting him. What do you
yes,
think?
Yes, I agree with what you're saying, but I will say there is a little bit of truth to, yeah, you were kind of ducking me. Because I remember Josh Alexander for like 2 or 3 weeks did like a few open challenges and everybody else stepped up to the plate. If you've been scouting him for like, Josh Alexander, I think, has been champion now for almost 2 years. If you've been scouting him for close to 2 years, a year and a half, if you felt you were ready in the past 6 months, he definitely did open challenges in the past 6 months. So I get it. I get that you're scouting him, because what you're saying to me makes perfect sense. If Macklin is that soldier, he shoots to kill. If you have a chance to scout and get all the intel on your opponent, why would I blow my load and then end up like somebody else at the bottom of the totem pole? I'm going to beat everyone you've beaten, so there's no excuse. So you can't say, well, you're not worthy. And then I'm going to pick my shot and do it at the biggest stage possible, which at this point would be your hometown, to prove a point, to make a statement, because you just don't take down Josh Alexander. You know what I mean? There's absolutely going to be a rematch, and Macklin's going to have to beat him again, because that's going to happen. You're not beating Josh Alexander once. You might even have to beat him a third time, and then Alexander's going to hit the, I'm going home. You know what I mean? So
there's even more to it.
Go ahead.
Now, you think of it like this. You've got, at one point, Josh is like, we don't have to wait for Rebellion. We can do it right now. He's getting angry. And what does Josh do with all of these builds? He gets angry and his emotions overcome him and it costs him something. Or he's got to channel his emotions, whatever it is. Macklin is very slowly building to having Josh kind of blow on him. And that's kind of part of his, that's part of his way of getting underneath the surface when it comes to Josh Alexander, is to have him blow his load, blow his top. And that's how you do it. So Josh has been champion for over, it's been almost 300 days. So it's not 2 years. It's almost 1 year. Because remember, he also had that break in the middle or at the beginning when he won it and then dropped it to Moose and then won it again, yada, yada, yada. He's been a champion for a while, but not for 2 years. It's been a story for 2 years.
It feels like it.
It feels like 2 years. Yeah. But once again, Macklin wants to do it in Josh's hometown on home soil at Rebellion, which is putting more pressure on Josh and making him want to blow his top faster, because he's going to have all this pressure. He's going to be so wound up at the idea of losing his title at home. Macklin's playing head games. He's been playing head games. Him watching Josh last week, while we panned the finish, they made it make more sense this week. He's been doing it for a while. Last week was the introduction of him keeping an eye on Josh Alexander from afar. Now this is the first time that Josh is actually seeing that one-on-one. Now they're going to do this whole thing where, like, he's in the shadows, he's in the trenches. They were slowly building to it too, because again, you had Macklin walk in on all of these random Josh Alexander promos. And yeah, I kept making the same joke. He's got an air tag on that title. Yeah. He's keeping track. But like, that was the thing. He scouted Josh to the point where he literally knew where he would be at any and all points of the day. And that's what we're building to. The idea that Steve Macklin is so dangerous and he's so well-trained that he can pinpoint all of your weaknesses and take advantage of that. And that's what Josh has to either overcome or inevitably lose the title to.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that sentiment. I think that honestly, at this point, for someone like Josh Alexander, he's proven time and time again that your best is not going to be good enough by itself. You have to combine several bests in order to best this man. And again, I stand firm in my statement that even if Macklin wins at Rebellion, Josh is getting that rematch. And I think that's when it's going to become a war of your anger, where you're so headstrong and trying to win back the title, that when you lose that second or that third time, which I think it might be a third time, if you lose that third time, then again, you deserve to take a break. And I've been saying that a lot about a lot of my champions and a lot of different promotions, because a lot of people have been champion for a very long time. And the current landscape of champions, I like a lot of them, but the ones that have been around for a long time, I'm going to say Alexander at the top, Jade, Roman, all of them. I want you to come back and have another run. You're running yourself ragged. You know what I mean? And in this particular case, I think Macklin is someone who, if you give him the rub, Macklin's going to run with it. And this is me being greedy and fantasy booking. I don't know where my helmet is, but I eventually want to see Macklin versus Speedball for the title. Going into it knowing that Macklin was the one who beat Alexander and you, Speedball, took Alexander to an hour, I see so many potential matches, and this is me. I need that. I need it expeditiously. So I think that it's great. I think it'll give Josh Alexander a time to reset, brush off, to heal up if he has any injuries or anything like that, and then come back. So when he does come back, people are like, oh, Josh Alexander, that pop's going to be crazy. But then go to Disney World. Take a vacation. I don't know what they're doing in Canada. I don't. Go ride a moose.
You know what you do? He can lose at Rebellion and then show up for the TV tapings the next night in Toronto and somehow get written off. Have a match where he gets beaten so badly, or they introduce somebody new who takes him out and then gives him some time off until he comes back, maybe in May at London tapings. Whatever it is, some time off for Josh Alexander would be warranted after Rebellion, assuming he drops the title to Steve Macklin. And I don't see a reason why they shouldn't do that, because Macklin has been proving time and again that he is deserving not only of the top spot, but also of the opportunity to have that top spot.
Yeah, and he's a draw. I think you'd be crazy to not think that he's not a draw. And I think if you don't, put him in the same shoes as Josh Alexander. Because before Josh Alexander was champ, there's a lot of people like, oh, Josh is kind of boring. I don't know if he can hold the strap. Is he going to? And he's been like, out of all the champions, he's one of my favorite world champions, because he the way he carries it is with so much pride, and everything that he does is 120% in the ring. So I think he deserves, I keep saying Disney World and Disneyland, but you deserve it. Literally, you deserve to take a break.
Yeah, go over to Niagara Falls with the family. Go and, you know, enjoy Falls View Casino and Tower.
Go to London. I don't know. Go to London, Ontario.
Do not go to London, Ontario. No offense to people who live in London, Ontario, although most of them will tell you it is a shitty town.
I don't know anything from it, and I'm from America, so who am I to talk? Hey.
All right, let's get through this. We have Sacrifice tomorrow night. We're going to be here on youtube.com/Fightful for the post.
Sacrifice! 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 Sacrifice!
Thank you, Jay White. We'll be here for the post show on Fightful. Let's go down this card real quick. PCO versus Kenny King. Who's going to win in this match?
I'm saying Kenny King, because PCO got no chance. He's getting cheated on. Oh, he's getting cheated on. Unless someone comes out to help PCO, which I don't think.
Okay. I think PCO wins. Or it's a DQ finish, and they're just going to do some sort of weird, like, 3-on-1 or 2-on-1 match at Rebellion.
Honor No More coming back. Honor some more.
Honor someone. Vincent comes back. No, I don't know. But I think either PCO wins, or it's going to be a disqualification.
Okay, I'm going in the opposite. I think the outcome will be the same no matter what. I think the story will continue, and I think that it'll take a more serious direction. But no matter who wins, I think this match will continue.
Yep. Giselle Saw versus Deonna Purrazzo. We posited the idea that maybe we'll add Jordynne Grace to this match and make it a triple threat match for the vacated. We don't know yet. Knockouts World Championship. Again, we're waiting on Impact to let us know what happens for that Knockouts title match, because as of right now, Mickie James is out with injury. So either way, let's assume Giselle Shaw and Deonna Purrazzo is 1-on-1. Who's going to win this match?
I think my heart says Purrazzo, even with shenanigans and cheating, I like Giselle Shaw, but I think she's almost there. But she's not ready to beat Deanna yet, but it's going to turn her into a freaking menace. But I think Perrazzo.
I think Perrazzo as well. I think we see the return of Giselle, of Tasha Steelz. Yeah. And also, like, I can see Giselle Shaw winning, and then during the beatdown, have Tasha come out and clear house, join with Deanna. But I think that Deanna gets the win here. Speedball versus Gresham 2. Gresham won the first one, or did Speedball win the first one?
Won the first one.
So, okay, so Speedball is winning the second one.
Yeah. I was going to say that. Yeah, whoever won the first one, the other one's winning this one because we're getting a three. And you know who's really the winner? Us.
That's true, and it's good. Check out my interview with Speedball Mike Bailey. It'll drop eventually here at youtube.com/Fightful. For the X Division Championship, champion Trey Miguel defends against Lince Dorado. This is going to be a banger of a match. Is Trey going to drop the title to Lince Dorado, or is this just another nail for Trey Miguel's green title?
I feel like if there's going to be a swerve in this show, this would be it. This would be it. But I think Trey Miguel retains, but not after Lince, not before Lince Dorado gives him the what for. Lince going to make him work for that. And again, we're winning this one, but Lince going to make him work for that if he wins. But if we do get a swerve, this is the match that'll happen.
Fine by me. Digital Media Championship, Joe Hendry defends against Brian Myers. Joe Hendry wins, right?
Say his name and he appears. Yes, Joe Hendry. It's absolutely Joe Hendry. Nothing personal against Brian Myers. I feel like Brian Myers is not long for the Impact world. And Brian Myers may be going to go join his friend. Zack Ryder, I don't know if Matt Cardona knows that guy yet, but in case he figures out who Zack Ryder is again, Brian Myers may be joining his buddy. That I feel it in my scroll. What about you? What do you think?
Deep down?
Oh, you told me Joe Hendry, sorry.
First blood match, or a busted open match, however you want to tag it. Tommy Dreamer versus Bully Ray. I can't tell you I care about this match.
I was going to say the same thing, like, who cares?
I'm feeling Tommy's going to do this. Yeah.
I feel like Tommy would win because I don't know if Bully Ray is staying with Impact full time for now. You know what I mean? I feel like Bully Ray is one of those people who, like, he's a ship in the night. And that's okay. Because I feel like he deserves that at this point in his career.
I don't want to make assertions that Bully Ray is going to be done with Impact because we tried that with Hard to Kill. And then he showed up the next day.
Oh, shit. Man, I don't know. Like, I'm going to watch this match, but not with my whole heart. And I can't lust over these old men.
Jesus Christ. I think Dreamer getting the win is the feel-good moment. Just let it end. Let that be the end of this storyline. Yeah. If Bully's out of here, that's fine. He can go to the NWA where he's doing stuff there. And again, I liked Bully's story for the first little bit in Impact. We talked about it on the show, but I think I think I'm ready to move past Bully Ray. The only way I can see Dreamer losing is if Hotch and Skyler come back, because they haven't been around for a little while.
True, but this is when you get Nick Aldis to beat up Bully Ray. I'm campaigning for it. And I know Nick Aldis got better things to do, but you don't want to choke this old man for a couple of hours?
I don't know. I feel like Nick Aldis has plans for the night after Mania. Who knows?
Listen, if he wants to choke Bully Ray, I'm not going to lie to you. I'd pop. Again, he got under my skin tonight. So I'm like, this is premium heel work. So you go ahead, Bobby Ray. But, I'm trying to jazz it up. I'm trying to jazz up this match with a lobster. I'm trying to do something.
We don't know what's going on with the Knockouts Championship match. It's up in the air right now. Mickie James is injured. Jordynne Grace is the challenger. I saw someone in the chat talk about Miyu Yamashita. I don't think she's going to challenge for the Knockouts title on her technically first night in Impact. Instead, she's facing Killer Kelly at the tapings, which I'm looking forward to, en route to her Multiverse United match. It's a four-way. But again, we don't even know what that's going to look like if Mickie James is not a part of the match. Regardless, we'll see where that goes. And then the presumed main event is Josh Alexander, Frankie Kazarian, Rich Swann versus Time Machine. That's Motor City Machine Guns and Kushida. I don't see why Alexander, Kazarian, and Swann wouldn't win, But I can also make the case for Kushida getting the win so that we can build to Alexander and Kushida the next week at Multiverse.
That's what I was thinking too, that Macklin interferes like a creep again, is just staring, and it messes up Josh Alexander. Kushida wins again, and then what you have is when Multiverse matches Parallel Universe High Five Under the C7 happens, these guys, Kushida could legitimately lose. You know what I mean? And no one would be mad about it, because you bested him in combat with all your tag team buddies, because you guys are a very well-oiled machine. You're literally time machine. So it makes sense for you to lose the big one. To me, that makes sense that they would lose here, because Macklin's still going to be like, so.
I'm trying to get any information I can about this, Mickey James.
You're doing your due diligence. Listen, I will hold the line. I will hold the line for everyone.
Tomorrow it's Miyu Yamashita and Nicole Matthews. That's not an Impact, but is that happening in Impact? It's not an Impact. Where is that? Where is that match? Where's Nicole Matthews? She's in the States. I even follow her. Why don't I have this info?
Journalism, peak journalism. This I know. Is why Sean sure. Ross Sapp pays us the big bucks.
I don't want to edit this. Someone else will tell me in the chat. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Thank you for the super chat. Yes, Multiverse United. I know, but I don't want to keep calling it Multiverse of Matches, Multiverse Strong, Multiverse whatever.
I apologize for butchering the name, but I have to tell you something. When you're as old as I am, my brain, listen, there's not a lot of water up. It's just dry worms.
Been there. I know the feeling. Well, that is Impact for March 23rd, 2023. The worms have gone to rest. Cresta, let's get out of here. Plug your stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will see you guys tomorrow here on YouTube/Fightful or Fightful.com or anywhere else where you get your Fightful Media, Twitch, Facebook, wherever. Tomorrow we're going to be going over Sacrifice, myself and Joel Pearl. Steven Jensen going to be with us or not?
I don't think so.
Steven Jensen, you know, call us. You know, hang
on. That's a standing offer. He'll definitely be at the Hard to Kill post show. I might also be at the Hard to Kill post show from a different location.
So it'll just be me by myself. I'm kidding. Also stream on Mondays and Wednesdays over on twitch.tv/CrestaStar. You can find me on TikTok where I yell about wrestling, and anywhere you could type CrestaStar except for Twitter, where you have Cresta the Star. There's a link tree in my bio where you can follow me on all forms of social media. All I do is thirst over wrestlers and talk shit about wrestling, but happy shit, not real shit. Like, I make up rumors about the Loch Ness Monster, and that's it. Joe Pearl, where can they find you besides in your house?
Well, first of all, Nicole Matthews and Miyu Yamashita is happening in Vancouver at Nation Extreme Wrestling. So probably not going to see Miyu before LA. So thank you for that, Jan Beard, by the way. I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. I will be on Fightful Overbooked all weekend. There is no episode of Newsworthy. Please, please, please keep Jeremy Lambert and his dad in your thoughts and prayers. He had requested that on his socials. So we send our love to Jeremy and to his family. And until then, ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye. See you tomorrow.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.